Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host and pharmacist, Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening, and those of you who have left a kind review and rating, I'm doing my best to make sure the content stays good and relevant. So today we're going to cover sulfasalazine. A brand name of this medication is azulfadine, and its category or its pharmacological category is a 5-ASA type compound, and that stands for 5-aminosalicylic acid derivative. Now, what this medication is used for out in clinical practice, if you can remember that this drug is typically used for inflammatory type diseases, autoimmune type diseases, you should be on the right track there. Most commonly, what I have seen in my practice is rheumatoid arthritis being used for that. Also definitely has a role, or I have seen used in ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, so some bowel and GI type disorders there. And I have seen it used for psoriasis occasionally as well. So very, you know, common disease states that are definitely out there that you'll see. And this drug can be used within the treatment algorithm for those types of disease states. Mechanistically, how this drug works and how it benefits a patient with these potential disease states, it's really not that well understood. We, you know, recognize it can help to reduce inflammation. And it's theorized, at least by a couple possible mechanisms. So reduction in inflammation is possible through tumor necrosis factor inhibition. Again, this is theorized. It's not very well understood exactly how this drug works. Adverse effects. Very important adverse effect, very common adverse effect of GI upset. So nausea, vomiting, and because of this, this is one of the reasons why we try to divide up the dose and not give one big daily dose once during the day. So you'll often see this drug split up. Two is probably the most common spreading out of dosages that I see. So, you know, morning and evening, for example. And again, that's to kind of help ease that burden or that stomach upset that the medication can cause. There is a sulfa component with this medication, as you could well guess probably by the name sulfasalazine. So rash risk, patients with a sulfa allergy, we have to be aware of that at least and recognize and take a bit of caution with those type of patients that have maybe have had allergic reactions in the past and or skin reactions to other medications that may have a similar structure or similar component within them. Another adverse effect, it can reduce the absorption of folic acid. So if you remember folic acid, it's important for a bunch of different things, but definitely in the context of anemia, folic acid deficiency can lead to development of anemia there. So important to remember that aspect and to think about that in a patient who may be taking sulfasalazine. There are some kind of rare or more serious unique adverse effects. So these don't happen very often, but they certainly can be pretty serious. So hepatic issues, that's the first one I kind of think about. So monitoring LFTs is going to be important there. Also, rarely you may see aplastic anemia and agranulocytosis risk as well. Now, this can be exacerbated by patients who are on other medications. You know, I think of methotrexate as far as the liver goes. Agranulocytosis, you know, the drugs that can suppress the immune system, for example, there. But again, for monitoring, we're going to look at LFTs for the liver. And CBC, you might see done periodically to monitor for those other things. Now, a really, really important patient education point that I do see get missed once in a while is the onset of action of medications. And this is a drug that takes a while to work. So let's take that example of rheumatoid arthritis. This drug is not intended to treat and manage a rheumatoid arthritis flare. The onset of action is going to be usually multiple weeks, three plus, before you're going to start seeing some decent efficacy and helping with those symptoms. So really, really important to educate your patients, saying, you know, this is not going to be a silver bullet. It's not going to work right away. It takes some time to work. So good education point to remember there. If you're a pharmacist or pharmacy student in the market for board certification material, go check out meded101.com/store, S-T-O-R-E. We've got geriatric certification study materials, ambulatory care, pharmacotherapy, as well as a link up to our NAPLEX material on rxgrad.com. So go check that out. If you're a nurse practitioner, physician, med student, nurse looking for clinical education on medications, check out meded101.com/store. We've got Audible books there that are for free. If you've never had an Audible book, definitely a cool thing to take advantage of there if you haven't been an Audible member before. So again, meded101.com/store. And wrapping up on drug interactions today, a few that I wanted to mention with sulfasalazine specifically. Digoxin. Sulfasalazine can actually reduce the concentrations of digoxin, so one to note there. I definitely think of drugs that have kind of compounding adverse effects. And an example here would be elevation in LFTs. I mentioned, you know, a drug like methotrexate, maybe an isoniazid, drugs that can also impact and damage the liver may have kind of this combination or additive type effect that we should especially be careful for and maybe monitor even more closely than we would with a patient just on sulfasalazine. The folic acid thing I did mention there, so important to potentially supplement if a patient is deficient and or has other risk factors of being deficient with folic acid. There is a minor risk of increased bruising and bleeding with the anticoagulant enoxaparin, so that is something that would recommended to be monitored as well. And again, with these drug interactions, I really try to highlight important things, common drugs that are out there in clinical practice. This is not an all-inclusive list by any means, and that's for any of the podcasts that you're listening to. So important to remember that. I try to highlight some important ones that you might come across and relay that information to you as best I can. I'm going to wrap the podcast up for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you are kind enough and enjoy the podcast, definitely take the time. Go leave us a review on iTunes. It's greatly appreciative. You can track me down, Eric Christensen, on LinkedIn. Also on the website, reallifepharmacology.com, we've got that free 31-page giveaway simply for subscribing, following the podcast when we've got new podcasts available and or new announcements to different products and things like that. So go check that out. Snag that for free at reallifepharmacology.com. Signing off for today. Thanks so much for listening. Take care and have a great rest of your day.